At the death toll is 38, that they've been able to pull out 38 bodies from the collapsed building.
In-depth analysis of events.
Let's not kid ourselves. Nigerians still vote on ethnic lines. And as a result, a northern candidate, you would think, on paper, would have more chances.
Every time ASUU has embarked on strike, the revitalization fund has often come up. And people have asked the question.
The Newsroom. Mondays, 6:15 to 7 p.m. on your number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Nigerian students in public tertiary institutions will stay another 3 months at home. Yes, you heard right. Another 3 months. That's after the latest decision from the Academic Staff Union of Universities, ASUU. While the federal government has dragged its foot in a bid to resolve the crisis, there was actually a swift reaction from the same government when there were threats over this weekend by the airline operators of Nigeria to shut down services this past weekend. Or on the political front, issues of high cost of funds, debate about zoning, and the mind-boggling case of Central Bank Governor Godwin Emefiele possibly in the race for the 2023 presidency would also get us talking. And building collapses is not going anywhere anytime soon. Yet another building collapsed this past weekend. Thankfully, there were no casualties. Well, all of this will get us talking on another edition of The Newsroom, a program brought to you by the Nigeria Info Newsroom, where we discuss the big stories that have happened in the past week, looking at them from our coverage right here in the Nigeria Info Newsroom. My name is Ufoma Egbamono, and of course, I am not doing this all alone. Algo Obo is right here with me. Algo, how are you doing?
I'm good. Great to everyone join us in from Lagos and all across the state.
Okay, Algo, quickly before we get into the very first, we're actually supposed to start this conversation with the update on ASUU. But just before we walked into the studio, our correspondent, a Nigerian Info correspondent in Abuja, is telling us that former president Goodluck Jonathan is about to get his presidential nomination form. How did you take that news?
It doesn't get any crazier. they say great viewing for the neutrals many times if you're watching a football game and it's tense. But this one, I've never seen anything like this. You have a governor of the central bank already in the mix. You have
a national leader.
Good. You even had a statement from the INEC chairman saying, "I'm not interested."
Oh my goodness!
It doesn't get any more ludicrous.
I couldn't live with the fact that INEC had to put out a statement. When I first saw it, I thought it was fake news, and then my goodness.
Oh my goodness! Anyway, cannot imagine. And then the numbers. You know, the other day from what we said, the APC through its spokesperson came out and said, the reason why they had the ticket and expression of interest form and nomination forms at 100 million naira, because they wanted to separate the contenders from the pretenders, from the clowns, from the actors. But you have 23 now. So you ask yourself, if it was less than 100 million, how many would have declared their interest to run? Maybe 100. But it's what it is, unfortunately.
Anyway, we'll talk about all of that on the show this evening. But just before we do that, let's start with the very first conversation. Earlier today, ASUU did put out the statement that they were extending their strike by 3 months as a result of government's inaction. Well, we spoke to an ASUU rep, just before we came into the studio. Unfortunately, he was unable to join us live because at about this time, he will be on a flight from Abuja back here to Lagos. So we spoke to him just before we came into the studio. And of course, take a listen to that interview and then we will come back with the conversation.
And to talk about all the issues concerning ASUU, we've got the
Zonal Coordinator, ASUU Lagos Zone, Comrade Adelaja Odukoya. Welcome to the newsroom, sir. Okay, first things first, let me ask you, why did ASUU decide to extend the strike by another 3 months?
Very simple. It's an indication that the government has not shown responsibility. The government has not done anything meaningful. As a matter of fact, we are still where we are at the time we started the strike. So consequently, just telling the public that nothing has been done and there's still no basis to suspend the strike. So that's why it has to be rolled over for another 3 months. You remember that we started with 1 month. When government didn't do anything, we thought they needed more time. We gave them 2 months. It's like that is not enough for them. Because they have actually not done anything. And we have given them another 3 months. So hopefully we are, it seems to be our hope that within this period they will be able to sort out.
Okay, so did ASUU consider the implication of this decision for students and for parents?
You see, I should not say what I should say, because each time I had that question, I see it as a height of provocation. One, because it assumes that ASUU are heartless, they are unfeeling. Two, it supposes that ASUU students have children in those universities. And of course, maybe for free, let me just say that, unlike the politicians that have admitted their national treasures, our members have nothing to lose. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why we are on strike is because a professor, who is a professor, who has been a professor for 15 years, taking things for 460,000 naira net per month. So with that kind of money, we don't have money to send our children to private university or abroad. So consequently, therefore, it's time to leave them. It's just simply illogical for anybody to know that it's in the same university that we have our own children. And another fact that people equally forget is that several of our members are equally students. We are, not less than 50% of our members are actually on PhD program, between master and PhD program. They are equally students because they can equally not afford to go abroad. So when you talk about students, when you talk about parents, you exclude as members as if they are not students, as if they don't have students, children that are students, or as if they are equally not parents. That's most of fear and most of charitable. And beyond that, too, each time you go on strike, it's a law of strain on us. For instance, we are saying, people equally presume that maybe as ASUU member we are stupid or unthinking. For the last 2 months, for crying out loud, we have not been paid. The last time we are not paid for six months. We think we just like to undergo things at no cost and things like that. If this does not convince people that there is enough reason for them to join this struggle, that's most unfortunate. When people make such statements, it assumes we are unfeeling, we are this, we are that. It assumes it forgot that we are parents too. It forgot that we have children there. It forgot that we have members that are students. It forgot that we are not being paid salary. And why would we insist on doing something to insist on our and it forgot one critical part, that university degree, university, the whole idea about university is universal. The standard was universal. We are saying there are no equipment. We are saying that universities are underfunded. We are saying that universities are not meeting global standard the way they are. So giving any certificate is like giving a useless paper. It does not amount to anything. Is that what people said we should be doing? Is that what they want their children to get? Just a paper that cannot carry them anywhere? No, we won't be part of that rubbish. People, it's already embedded in what we have said. Let the government do the needful. Let the government be responsible. The issues are there. We have a 2009 agreement that up to now the government has not actually fulfilled. We have had several memorandum for understanding, memorandum of action. Government have not done this thing. The university have been underfunded. Nigerian lecturers are the least paid anywhere in Africa, if not the world.
Well, I can feel the that little bit of agitation in your voice, which is fine. You know, but of course, those questions needed to be asked because that's what some of our listeners are actually asking.
How can you be paying a professor $700 a month, and you want quality? This thing you want quality service. We are subsidizing the lecturers. We are subsidizing our education in this country. So the minimum condition for calling up this strike is one. We are finished by 13th of May 2021, after 4 years, an agreement that should have been renegotiated in 2012. The the negotiated 2009 agreement. Whatever government want to do about it, it's before them. Let them come out and let's discuss and let them sign and implement that agreement. That's the irreducible minimum, because there are four issues in that agreement, and one of them is our condition of service. We can, of course, you know the exchange rate of the cost of a bag of rice in 2009, what it is now. Our salary has not increased one cup since 2009. You saying that is fair? You saying that is just? You saying that the way you teach, you treat the intelligentsia of your society and you want to develop? Certainly not. So, that's one. Then two, it has been proven over and over again. The IPPIS is a fraud, it's corrupt. Even the report of the Auditor General of the Federation of 2019 report has indicted that. It's in the public domain. Not about 12 weeks ago, there about the head of the civil service equally made it clear that there are about 3,000 ghost workers, even in the IPPIS. So it is a fraud.
All right, let's move on now and ask, what exactly is the way forward out of this logjam?
But we have challenged us to develop an alternative. We have developed the alternative. It has been tested by stakeholder, everybody, including NHTSA. The last difference is called 99.3%. It must be deployed, because IPPIS, apart from being fraud, is as rendered a university useless. University can no longer work the way it works. One of the hallmarks of the university is autonomy. There's the flexibility of getting everybody from everywhere in the world for 1 week, for 2 months, for this thing. All these things are not possible. Our salary has been amputated the way it is. Our promotion arrears cannot be paid. People cannot go on sabbatical and things like that. University don't work that way. We are not civil servants, and we have challenged them. Let them tell us anywhere in the world where they are using IPPIN or where they are treating the university as part of the civil service. These are all rubbish. So, those are two irreducible minimum, without which we won't come up this side.
That was, of course, the zonal coordinator, the Lagos zone of ASU, Dr. Adelaja Odukoya. It was a pre-recorded interview a couple of minutes ago. In case you just joined us, it is 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Ufumai Gbamunu. I've got Algo Obo right here in the building, and the program is The Newsroom. Well, we've also got a guest right here in the studio. He is the director of the Electoral College Nigeria. Kunle Lawal makes a second return to the newsroom. Kunle, good evening to you.
Good evening, Foma. Good evening, Lagos. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, quickly, I would have to ask you this. Over this weekend, airline operators threatened to shut down, operations for flight operations across the country. Within a matter of days, we saw the swift action with which the House of Reps actually called for an emergency meeting that was supposed to be today, but they called it off because it had been resolved before today, Monday. See that swift reaction with which that one was done, and ASU is lingering for 3 months, maybe another 3 months at least, if we go by what the union are saying. Would I be wrong to say the Nigerian political class only cares when it bites them?
I don't think you'll be wrong. The truth about it is, when you look at it clearly, you're going to ask yourself the real question. As long as you're not on the buffet of politics, you're not taken seriously. People that don't have their children in Nigeria schooling are going to be bothered whether you go on strike or not. Or people that don't have their kids educated. Let me tell you what you are even offering them. You're offering them an advantage so that their kids could finish before their mates and return back to Nigeria and have jobs that were to be given to others, given to their kids. So when it comes to the flight issue, you of course know that would have broken down Nigeria entirely, because they all need to move around, especially in this their political season. Who gonna submit form without flight? So if you on the ground that you're going to put them in a serious quagmire, and it's sad. The ASU thing is pathetic for me. This is because I was born to two lecturers. My mom is still a lecturer in Ebi Uzaria. So it's an ongoing situation I felt since I was a child. And then having to still grow understand up
and,
what
and is it's still there.
On. Because I remember telling my mom then that I never wanted to be a lecturer. And that was because I saw the way the government treated them. You're talking of strikes of 93 coming down towards the over 1 year strike of 96. And, you know, so on and so on. Nothing has ever changed. And you can't expect people that didn't benefit from an education to care about education. I think that's what matters the most. Because people that they didn't benefit from education. For you to run for Senate, all you need is a secondary school certificate or president.
So it becomes a problem. Okay, we will definitely talk more on the ASUU strike in the coming days because, of course, it's a developing story. But quickly, let's move on now. Let's talk party primaries because we are in that season. I did mention that, of course, you know, we just got information from our Abuja correspondent, Nigeria Info's correspondent, that former President Goodluck Jonathan is on his way, you know, to actually pick up a nomination form. We haven't confirmed that yet, but like I said, it's what our reporter is actually saying. So, but we'll be discussing party primaries right now because it is coming up at the end of this month. And we are being joined as we speak right now by, of course, the publicity secretary of the APC in the Federal Capital Territory, Engineer Usman Adaji. A very good evening to you, sir. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Okay, it doesn't look like that's the case, but we'll try and connect to him. But Kunle, the growing number we just saw before we came into the studio, the Senate president has picked up his form. I just saw pictures right now on our Nigerian Info newsroom group that the Minister of State for Petroleum, Timipre Silva, has also picked his form. And if you believe the reports, you know, by our correspondent in Abuja, that the former president is also on his way to pick his, that's like about 25 persons already. How do you think the APC will manage? Only one person will win. How will they manage the fallout?
Well, for me, what is critical to notice is that, of course, we have three forms in which three ways in which a candidate can emerge from the primaries. That's direct primaries, which involves every member voting, indirect, which involves the use of delegates, and then the consensus, which is a party agreement. Now, slotted into the forms of the APC is a withdrawal form, which states, you know, must be signed in a court of law. I don't know why you're laughing. I didn't make up these things. And so
my apologies. but I had to laugh. Just go ahead. Sorry.
So it's clear that withdrawal thing already signifies the presidential is most likely a consensus primaries, which means nobody will be given opportunity. And you already have it signed and stamped from a notary court or from a commissioner of oaths in a court of law, which indirectly states nobody can argue or contest or take the case to court. Remember that the primaries are coming very late, and by June 3rd, everybody must have finished
submitted
every
the
court case or submitted names on the primaries. So we're looking at their presidential, this thing on May 30th, I think, or
29th.
30th. So May 30th. So I think what's coming for the APC is clearly a consensus candidate plan. But I must add here, if you're paying attention to the number of forms being bought, you must understand something. Critical always, the only time Nigeria has moved from one president who has served two terms, there was always an impasse in the political setting. What is happening is that new powers are rising, old powers are falling. I can say from the cost of the forms and number of people that bought it, I'm not trying to predict this, but I think what the APC is preparing itself for is probably a consensus candidate that would annoy a few enough to leave. So if you put enough big price and you tell everybody to come in and pay 100 million for those forms, is enough liquid base for them to run a campaign.
Give or take, we're talking 2.5 billion already.
Well, let me be honest. If you calculate across 36 governors, which have more than one aspirant, by rough calculation, last week when the Electoral College Nigeria was doing something, was the APC has earned as of now over 50 billion from forms.
Just selling forms.
Yes.
How about the PDP?
PDP too, approximately about 20-something, 30-something billion. Not really, because theirs is a little low. But rest remember that we have State House of Assemblies who are over 12,000 people playing approximately 1 million. If 1 million people are paying, 12,000 people are paying 1 million. Yeah. And you need to, you can do the math. Then you have, let's use the APC. You have, you said what of the PDP? You have House of Rep paying about 5 million. And that is 360. And we all know it's not one aspirant per constituency. Mm. So we're talking 5-6 aspirants per constituency. If you do that math, I feel on this political party issue, political parties across body 18 have gained over 150 billion naira from sale of forms alone.
Interesting. One of the interesting aspects to this whole political drama playing out there, Kunle, has been the emergence of the governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria. He's quoted to have said that, "I am not going to contest yet. I'm consulting." But yet his lawyer, Michael Zekume, SCN, was in the court today. Some sort of preemptive case saying that the court allow Emefiele to contest while remaining the CBN governor of the court throughout the matter earlier on today. What are your thoughts about Gordon Emefiele dabbling into so-called murky waters of politics?
You know, first and foremost, as a Nigerian, I must respect his freedom to express himself. But, you know, there are laws that are not written in stone. There are moral obligations that come with the privilege of a particular office. I think that's where he has missed it. And the fact that the son of the rich is the one pursuing the case, no offense, but I already know what the outcome will be. Let's be honest, with the new Electoral Act, you're supposed to resign 30 days. But let's remember that is in court. And as it's in court, status remains. Old status means you have 90 days to resign before the election.
I think it's 1 month.
No, 90 days.
Before the general election, not the primaries.
Not the primaries.
Yes.
Before the general elections. 90 days before the general elections. So as the new Electoral Act is on stay, because it's in court right now, as regards public officers participating in elections who should resign 30 days before the primaries, we have a total quagmire. And for me, I feel this is all the one power. You know, everybody has to be bothered about where they'll be standing in 2023.
But think about it. I remember former governor of Central Bank, Sanusi Lamido Sanusi. You know, one of the reasons why he was kicked out of office then was because of him fraternizing with the politics. And I remember very well Goodluck Jonathan did not like that at all, and then had to step in to get him out. I don't know how long this will go. People have said it's not President Buhari's style to interfere with his appointees. He could let them go for as long as possible and not say anything about it. But you think at some point something will give and he will have to address this?
He would have to address it. You know, a very great argument I've heard from APC people. I'm non-partisan, so nobody should make the mistake that my position with the Electoral College doesn't allow me to be partisan. You know, there's the common argument which we've heard that the head of Federal Reserves in the US, which is like the central bank, is a Republican. Yes, he's right. Yes, because he's a Republican, he can participate, he can be a delegate with choosing his primaries, he can vote for council chief. Yes, but there's no written that he can't run for president. But I assure you, based on moral obligation, that has never happened in the UK or the US and any other country that has a direction for democracy. For me, I think we brought the bar so low. It's so low that a Twix bar is beginning to look like Chocomilo. In the best way I could put it.
Okay. Well, some have actually argued that, there's this school of thought that says the CBN governor actually has, loads and loads of the secrets, quote-unquote, of the present administration. That's why he can be allowed to go ahead with this apparent abuse of power. True?
Okay. Let's say this clearly. Our democracy has dropped into a musical chairs. I don't know if you're in Gen Z, I don't think they play musical chairs again. But when we're growing up and the parties used to have musical chairs, it has begun to insult the basic fabric and concept of what democracy is supposed to represent. And at this point, if we can't tell the difference between a governor general running or a lot, or a lot of other people participating. And it means that we totally have insulted the democracy which was fought for by the forefathers of this country, and directly in line and insulting the constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
Okay. Kule, let's talk about Zuni. Unfortunately, we've not been able to get through to the publicity secretary of the APC in the Federal Capital Territory. We also tried to get through to one of the SAs of Governor Sanwo-Olu, who's also the former publicity secretary of the APC right here in Lagos, Joe Igbokwe. Unfortunately, we also could not get him. But there's still enough time to talk about this. Hopefully, we could talk about that next week. But Kunle, let's talk about zoning, because it's been a topical issue on both sides of the divide. Yes, zoning is not written down in the constitution per se, but in one of the major parties, the PDP, it's written in black and white. Do we have him now? Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Oh, okay. Good evening, sir. You're welcome to the newsroom right here on Nigeria Info. Just joining us is the publicity secretary of the APC in the Federal Capital Territory, Engineer Usman Adaji. Quickly, we do not have so much time on our side. First question to you would be, how will the APC manage a possible fallout or division in your party with the number of candidates we have right now?
First and foremost, I welcome all Nigerians who are listening to us now. In the first place, we are not envisaging any fallout. APC, as it stands today, is the largest political party, not just in Africa, but as far as I'm concerned, in the world presently. And you will understand that it's the ruling party. And for a ruling party, everybody will want to identify with the ruling party. If you are a winner, you have so many friends, so many other states. If you are a loser, of course, you know what does happen with losers. So for us, as the ruling party, you expect what you are seeing presently. But that is one thing that we don't have the mechanism for resolving our problems. As it stands today, we are already in the midst of resolving our problems. The Southwest have met. You understand, as journalists, you have seen that in the last few days they have been able to meet in terms of some of their leaders, and of course they have to put themselves together, that whoever picks the ticket, every other person will definitely fall behind that person. Once there is a credible primaries, divide or rancor, you will agree with me that everybody will definitely support, because we want to remain as ruling party in Nigeria. And for that reason, we envisage that what happens after the primaries will all come together. So we're not envisaging a bailout. We're not envisaging any problem after the primaries. I can assure you this.
Okay, quickly, let's talk about the Godwin Emefiele conundrum. It has got Nigerians talking over the last couple of days. As central bank governor, he is supposed to be non-partisan. But if you believe the stories come... In fact, he himself did come out to say, well, if I want to contest, I will buy the firm with my own money. I will not let anybody buy for me. Today, we saw a case in court. What do you say about him dabbling into politics and possibly in your party?
Well, in the first place, a lot of aspirants who, of course, may have their money to buy the firms didn't use their money to buy firms. Some Nigerians who believe in their integrity, who believe in their purpose, who believe in what they can offer to Nigerians, went out of their way to use their personal money, or a group of persons buying firms for some of these people they feel they are credible. So Emefiele is in Nigeria. He is not of such situation. So if Nigerians or certain persons believe that he is credible and they would want him to run the election, and it's probably it. But for me, he has come out in clear terms to say that I'm not willing to run now because he has been asked to resign. And he said, look, if I am interested in running for this office, I will definitely resign and then take my money, take this form, and then contest. So for now, I am not interested in running for any of these offices. He has said that in clear terms, except and until he comes out with a form, I will not be part of those that will say Emefiele has purchased from or is actually contesting. For me, on record, as public secretary of the party and as a stakeholder of APC, you have on our record that Emefiele is running for this office for now. But I won't say anything about what could possibly happen tomorrow. He's a Nigerian and he's free. He's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to what he wants.
Is he a member of the APC?
Pardon?
Is Godwin Emefiele a member of the APC?
Well, everybody in our political party, you as a journalist, if you decide to for office today and then get registered for the party today, you become a full-fledged member of the party. You don't need to be a member of the party for 10 years to be able to run to exercise your right as a Nigerian.
Sorry, sir. That's
APC has an opening.
Sorry, sir. That's not the question I asked. I asked, is Godwin Emefiele a member of the APC?
That is the same thing I have told you. I said, he may not have been a member of APC up to this moment, that he has the right to resign tomorrow and get registered to be a member of the party. He's a Nigerian. So that up in this moment, I may not be able to tell you in the state court that he's a member of the party, because he's a civil servant. But he could tomorrow resign and then get registered to be a member of the party.
Okay.
That is a right.
Yeah. So you said something I was trying to remember, Engineer Adaji. You say that you want to ensure that your party wins the next election and remains in power. You know, if they say if wishes were horses, we could fly then. But help me understand this about zoning. The last time the national policy of the secretary of your party briefed the media after the after your NWC was sworn in and all of that, he had said that the issue of zoning will be addressed in a couple of days, whether it will go to the south or to the north. And it's been over 2 weeks now. I wanted to know if your party has decided on this position of zoning for the presidency.
Yes.
Go ahead, yes.
The issue of zoning. Are we there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
The issue of zoning is an unconstitutional thing. It's a gentleman agreement. It is not there, it is nowhere in our constitution where zoning of presidential positions or other positions of this nature is categorically stated. So, if today the party on its own decide to say, look, we want to vote to the party, for us, we have actually said, and let me take it a little bit behind. In 2014, the party's position was that the northern, the position was zoned to the north for the presidency to be zoned to the north, it was. But eventually, people from the south also contested because it was their right. The party couldn't stop them. Somebody like Richard Okocha contested them. It was his right, but it was actually going to the north. So as it stands today, our party has said, we wish that it is possible for the next president to come from the south. But that does not mean that other Nigerians who are members of the party do not have the right to also pick the form and then run for the office. If Nigerians decide to take their vote to other direction, to another direction, so be it. But on a gentleman basis, our party is thinking of allowing it to go to the south. But it is unconstitutional.
All right, thank you very much, Engineer Usman Adaji, Publicity Secretary of the APC in the Federal Capital Territory. We appreciate you for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
All right. Of course, the APC man there giving his thoughts. And Kule, that's the question I was about to ask you quickly as we wrap up on this issue. What's your take on zoning? It's more or less tearing, quote-unquote, the PDP apart, you know, because unlike the APC, it's in the constitution of the PDP. There are arguments for and against. Some have said, oh, well, 16 years we've been in power, it's been in the South, about 14 of those years. But others have also argued that, well, 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago, we zoned it to the North and nobody from the South contested. It should be the southern part right now. What do you say to all of these agitations about North and South?
Well, the truth is that parties are allowed, according to the Electoral Act, on the method in which they pick the candidates that emerge, as long as it aligns with the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And like the FCT Public Secretary rightly said, it's unconstitutional to zone. So except the party agrees and says, you know what? But I like what he said also. Even if it's zoned, it will infringe on the freedoms of expression of a Nigerian if you stop someone else from contesting. So anybody else can contest. I've never believed in zoning. It's like federal character. We've done so much federal character that I don't even know what it has added to us or taken from us. So zoning for me and federal character are two of the most destructive things we've ever seen in democracy.
Okay, well, that will be a cue quickly to touch on our third story, which has been the issue right here in Lagos. Just about 10 days ago, a building collapsed in Lagos, killing 10 persons. We thought that was the end of it. Just this past weekend, we also had another building collapsing. Thank goodness there was no casualty at this point in time. The Lagos State Building Control Agency actually has pulled down that three-floor structure, and they say they are investigating the remote and immediate causes of what actually happened right there. Meanwhile, a member of the Lagos State House of Assembly, Moshood Olariwaju, is calling on members of the public to support the government in their efforts to spot distressed buildings on the verge of collapse. He represents the Mainland Constituency 2, and he made this call while reacting to, of course, the building that collapsed in Ebute Metta. He says the government needs information to be able to locate such buildings. And we've got our reporter, Emmanuel Onwuka, who's been covering this story for a couple of weeks now. Emmanuel, we talked about this, you know, last week. It was a bit emotional last week.
Yeah.
But this time around, we're looking at the aftermath. Tell us what exactly the lawmaker was talking about, you know, for people over there.
Okay, so we know how it's like for the agencies that are in charge of building control and urban planning to actually patrol areas and spot these buildings. But he's saying that is not enough. They need the support of residents. They need the support of individuals around areas, houses that are distressed, to actually pass information, sort of like a whistleblowing kind of thing, whereby you give information to the governor, to the agencies, pass information to them that this building is distressed. They come in, they check it, they carry out a visibility check on it, and they, if they find that this building has issues, what they do is to demolish the building. The only concerns we had was that at the Ebute Metta collapse building, while we were there trying to talk to people and ask people around, we had somebody there tell us that, oh, he made a call to the agency about the building as at last year, and possibly that is what prompted it, though the agency didn't confirm or deny the statement. But it's one of the things that this lawmaker is actually calling on residents to actually take. The only challenge there that we see is, are residents willing to come up and give out that information? Because there's always the issue of it coming, having a rebound effect, whereby you go report somebody and then somebody in the agency comes back and say, oh, this person reported this thing. And then there are some issues whereby you make reports, the buildings are marked for demolition, and then the demolition doesn't happen for like 3, 4, 5 years.
Which brings me, I'll go to the question, we don't have so much time again. Maybe we'll continue this conversation, you know, tomorrow. The issue about landlords, you know, having to be the ones to pay for the demolition, it seems that that's a sticking point.
Yeah, sticking point. If the law says the landlord will take care of the demolition, then if the landlord doesn't take care of it, what happens? They've got so many buildings marked for demolition. Except you have a budget like the FCT, where it was a couple of years ago, where they had to pay, where the FCDA had enough money to throw around to carry out those demolitions. Otherwise,
I need to chip in here.
Quickly, 10 seconds.
Okay, 10 seconds. The FCT has, I'm sure, local governments in Lagos State, which earn over 400 million per month, I can dig out of that massive trench of cash and do something with it.
Question will be, do they get those monies? Anyway, that's a cue to wrap up the show. It's always like this when you're having fun. Guys, it's been wonderful doing this. We'll be back again next week, 16:15 p.m. My name is Ufumi Egbamuno.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversation here on 99.3 Nigeria. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.